Did you want to give an intro, BL, or want me to take it?
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Greetings. I want to extend my appreciation to the Moya University in this series of webinars that we're presenting on awakening the higher mind and the intuition. I'd also like to extend appreciation for the assistance that Rose and BL have consistently given to this project. And of course, all of you who have taken time from your busy schedules to participate with us in this exploration of symbols through images and animations. We've had a few small glitches, but we're going to proceed nevertheless. And before we get in to this, I want to point out that we've opened a Facebook page, Rose and I, to allow participants to place comments, suggestions for this work. We've had a lot of feedback, very creative, very positive, and it's important what you think about this work. And it'll all be collected in one common area. It's a little difficult for me with emails because I get so many. I sometimes can't keep track of them. So with this, we're going to have on the tape, there'll be a link to the Facebook page. Okay, here it is right here, but don't worry about actually taking it down, because it'll be recorded. Now, we're going to start this presentation, unlike some of the others, with a short video, and it's by the Nassim Haramein group, the physicist who's done groundbreaking work in linking ancient religions and ancient yogic teachings with modern developments in quantum physics.
What if you were connected to everyone in the world? How would your life change? What if you could see the patterns? See the beauty? Deepen your connection to nature, to the stars, and to each other. Learn to see the world differently.
Now, I think I'd like to ask the group if the audio is loud enough, or is the audio too loud? And maybe by a show of hands, if it's not loud enough, just give BL a hands up on your hands up mode.
The audio sounds good to me.
Video is really woven around the use of triangles. And this idea of triangles is becoming more mainstream all the time in different ways. And I thought that would be a good video to begin this presentation, because once again, we're going to launch into the magic and the mystery of triangles. And we're going to finish up some additional insight into esoteric astrology that we started at our last session, but we never quite finished. And here we have a description of how the plasma cosmologists and physicists are beginning to understand these different star systems and constellations. And reading this, from the smallest particle to the largest galactic formation, a web of electrical circuitry connects and unifies all of nature, organizing galaxies, energizing stars, giving birth to planets, and on our own world, controlling weather and animating biological organisms. There are no isolated islands in an electric universe. That's from the Thunderbolts of the Gods, David Talbot and Wallace Thornhill, and they have done amazing work revealing the interconnectedness of our different universes and systems through electricity. And the next image is a perfect example of that. That's, I think, infrared or some type of radiation photography, where this is what they've discovered between stars, this very organic interconnecting plasma grid, because plasma is basically electrical, and it keys in perfectly with what the ageless wisdom has continuously affirmed, that we are all connected on an etheric level, and this is the crossover. This plasma is the crossover between the physical into the etheric, and where you enter into these other dimensions where everything is connected together. Are there any comments that others in the group may have discovered or come across around the work of the Thunderbolts group? I'm going to start with this quote by the Tibetan. And it's a very powerful one, and it sort of qualifies what we're going to explore. Would anybody like to read this, BL, Rose?
I'll read it for you.
Thank you.
Human evolution will have run its course. Again, the astral plane and the Buddhic plane are related, as we already know. The astral is negative in relation to the Buddhic plane. When the polarity of the different planes is known, when the polarity of the subplanes is comprehended, and when the interaction between them and the corresponding cosmic planes is grasped, then will man be free, but not before. When the polarity of the ethers to each other and their relationship to the whole is comprehended, human evolution will have run its course. A master has solved the problem of electrical phenomenon in the three worlds, hence his freedom. Further, when the relationship of the negative form to the positive spirit is grasped, and their joint connection with cosmic entities who indwell the whole system is somewhat apprehended, then group liberation will be achieved.
Just to give a little bit of background on the importance of that quote, when you look at this image right here, you have on the left the seven rays, and on the right the seven planes. The fourth plane down, the fourth ray down on the left is, of course, the Buddhic plane. And the sixth one down is the astral plane. And when you see that every ray has seven other subplanes built into it, you can begin to understand how all the rays are connected. And there's a particular relevance between the fourth and sixth ray because they're on the 2-4-6, or what we call feminine line of descent. On the next image, we have a little clarification on the planes to the right and the rays to the left. And keep in mind, there are major poles and there are minor ones. And as we go through this, we're going to be able to explore more and more how the initiatory experience works. In our study of initiation, we know the first initiation is consummated when the sacral energy is drawn up to the throat center via the base of the spine. That's the first major triangle that has to be mastered. Now, prior to the first initiation, the sacral center is considered positive in the throat center negative. And when enough study, meditation, and service has been accomplished, the throat center becomes activated, and the sacral elementals, which are part of the prisoners of the planet, are redeemed by being drawn up to the throat center. Now, there's a switch in polarity. The throat center that was earlier negative now becomes positive, and the sacral center now becomes negative. So it's an opposite shift in polarity. And we've reviewed this several times, and I'm not going to go through it in detail, but it's basically the same thing on the second initiation. If your eye goes to the right-hand side of this chart, where the solar plexus at first is positive and the heart is negative. And that, again, meaning there's hardly any energy in the heart center, but the solar plexus is really radiant. When the heart is open through group work, contact with the soul, it will draw and redeem the elementals on the solar plexus level, and you'll have, once again, the same shift. So let's look at this electrically, because that's what DK has asked us to do in the previous quote, to look at the idea of polarity, excuse me, the astral-buddhic relationship, and the importance of electricity. So on the left, you have all the triangles between the first and fifth initiation given by the Tibetan, and on the right, you have more of an organic representation where you have the major polarities of crown. On the left, you'll see the crown at the top and the base of the spine at the bottom, rays 1 and 7, respectively. On the right, you have the same dynamic, only put into a coil, showing how electricity is in a loop form. Now, to the right and left of that central coil, you have the lesser polarities. Looking back at the left chart, the ultimajor throat and sacral, masculine centers. On the left, the ajna, heart, and solar plexus. The feminine centers on the right, they occupy the same position as that electrical image on the right. They're secondary windings or secondary forces or energies that lie between the direct conduit and contact of the base of the spine and the top of the head. Everything in between those two centers is what has to be mastered and understood and linked before liberation takes place. And to those of you who have studied the Kundalini, even on a cursory level, that's what DK means when at the third initiation, the great mother power rises and removes any remaining obstructions so that the seventh ray can fuse with the first ray and have complete and total continuity of consciousness. Now, this process begins at the third initiation and really sort of ends at the fifth. And all the triangles in between are the work that we have to do to consummate Shiva, the head center, and Shakti, the base of the spine, the mother and the father in divine union. Okay, any questions about that? It's rather technical, I apologize for that, but we're going to move into some amazing animations that sort of give an organic feel to this work. The technical is foundational, it's more around the lower mind and in some cases the abstract mind. So I don't see any hands, BL, so we'll continue.
Yeah, there's no comments either.
Okay, so. Rose, are you still there? Would you like to read this one?
No, I can't.
Okay, thank you. BL, would you?
Sure.
With your beautiful voice.
Thank you. Rapidly moving triangle, palpitating with every color. By the time the third initiation is reached, a wondrous transformation has transpired. The outer sphere is palpitating with every color in the rainbow and is of wide radius. The streams of electrical energy circulating in it are so powerful that they are escaping beyond the periphery of the circle, resembling the rays of the sun. The nine petals are fully unfolded, forming a gracious setting for the central jewel, and their orange hue is now of a gorgeous translucence, shot with many colors, that of the egoic ray predominating. The triangle at the base is now quickened and scintillating, and the three points are small blazing fires, showing to the eye of the clairvoyant. Showing to the eye of the clairvoyant as sevenfold worlds of light circulating their light from point to point of a rapidly moving
Thank you. And we sort of showcase at our last presentation the green rotating triangle that I received so many positive comments. It starts out rotating around three poles, and then the triangle is speeded up to the point where you can see the easy transition where the vortex is created, where the triangle morphs into the vortex. And that it's an important thing to realize where that crossover is, because DK talks extensively about triangles, and he actually talks quite a bit about the vortex, but is only several places where he actually qualifies how one becomes the other. Okay, I have some gremlins in my computer, if anybody hasn't noticed. Okay, let me read this next quote. Interlacing streams of triadic energy. It is useless for students to attempt to unravel this aggregation of interlacing streams of energy. All that is now possible for man with his present equipment is to accept hypothetically these statements about certain major triangles which affect humanity and seek to prove their effect and to endeavor to arrive at some understanding of that intricate interwoven network which he himself possesses and to which he gives the name etheric body. Astrologers have begun to grasp a dim idea of the interlocking triangles of energy as far as our Earth is concerned in the rather arbitrary division of the 12 constellations into four triplicities, covered by such qualifying terms as earthly triplicities or fiery triplicities, composed each of a cardinal, a fixed, and a mutable sign. They thus divide up the entire zodiac into a fourfold group of interlacing and interrelating triads, each conditioned by one of the basic elements and thus qualified. So the idea of interlacing triangles that are in motion, that are organic, and that they are multidimensional, that we're really looking at with the Tibetans' descriptions, more of a hologram and a fractal than just a simple graph or tabulation that's very linear. And this one that you're looking at now is an example of something that we need to expand more fully to completely comprehend. We've all been taught in the ageless wisdom that our planetary logos has a grid of lighted substance surrounding the etheric plane or his etheric body with a series of squares. And that right now, historically, with the help of the hierarchy and humanity, the series of squares are being cut across diagonally with a beam of light to create two triangles. And when two triangles are created from a square, the light becomes exponential. It's not just twice as powerful, it's many times as powerful. And this is the whole basis of triangle work. But we have to remember, we're talking triangles are facing spheres. They're not independent, they're multidimensional, and they face the shape of all living spiritual organisms on the inner planes, as HPB has pointed out, which are spherical. So on the left, we have the statement, this is a loose grid of squares. This grid is open and vulnerable to the entry of negative and undesirable forces. All of us as disciples Many of the difficulties we encounter are not just the result of work that we need to do in our lives mentally or astrally or even physically, etherically. A lot of it is the result that our etheric bodies are not fully coordinated with all of these triangles. Therefore, there is what is called seepage. And you can have energies drawn into your auric field that can penetrate through your protective grid because it's not tight enough, it's not luminous enough, and it is partially responsible for the negative experiences that we have as disciples. Sometimes they come from within our own auric field, other times they come from without. When you look to the right, you see a tight grid of triangles. This is a simulated grid of an electric field. This sphere has 9,823 points and 29,000 links in its triangular mesh. It is impervious to outside forces, negative forces, and can only be destroyed by the light within. In other words, when you reach this point of evolutionary development, where your different vehicles are tightly wound with striated bands of triangular light, it will allow good to come in. The reason for that mainly being the good comes from a higher dimension. Therefore, there's an avenue or there's a road right down to the center of your different vehicles and it radiates out. But if any inimical forces come into your vicinity, you repel them by this electrical grid. It's superhuman physics, and we can put it in all types of different language, but this is the language the Tibetan says we will eventually adopt as we move into the age of Aquarius. Superhuman physics, building on what contemporary science is already doing and revealing and linking it up with what the ancient yogis have been saying for tens of thousands of years. There is a common meeting place. Okay, are there any questions on this image or this whole idea that we are electrical units of life? All of our vehicles are different types of electricity, and they're positive and negative, just like we showed in the astral Buddhic images earlier, to each other. And you have to know how to utilize the push and the pull of magnetism and electricity. And you can do this work automatically. You don't have to have technical images and me pontificating about it. Many people here are doing this automatically. It's just that if you can frame it in sort of a scientific language, it will be easier to share and easier for other generations who are coming into incarnation to sort of adopt this new scientific approach. Are there any hands, BL, on any questions or anything to share at this point?
I don't see anything from them, but I want to say thank you. This, the way that you have just presented this, you know, we can talk to students all the time about, you know, they have to create their alignment and you know, set up their rhythm, and that it will, the higher the alignment goes and the longer that they can sustain it, that it will create this protection field for them. But this is actually the science of that happening, and it's remarkable. Thank you.
Well, there's a statement in the stanzas of Dien that the Tibetan makes, and this is pretty close to an exact quote, where he says, "The cruel forces of Maya will assault those units of light that are not connected." And this is true not only because wherever two or more energies cross over in a triangle, you have a flash of light. And if you have this tight grid cruel Maya cannot enter in. And because all your points of light, all of your triangles are powerfully connected. And when we look at the next image, we can see how this would apply to the planetary etheric body. Are there any more questions, BL, before I...
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yvonne.
Yes, Yvonne.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. Are we talking about the etheric grid? Is there a grid for the mental body? The, you know, all the bodies, I mean, the soft ones and the hard ones, or just the ones that like the mental?
That's a very good question. And I would say the etheric grid, it usually is spoken of as the physical etheric body. However, there is an etheric counterpart to all of the bodies and even our planetary life. In other words, DK speaks about the four higher solar or cosmic ethers when he talks about the logoic, monadic, atmic, and buddhic planes. Those are, he calls them etheric. They have an etheric counterpart. So I would say generically, yes, but again, sometimes the Tibetan uses the idea and concept of the etheric in somewhat different ways. That's a very good question.
Yeah, I have another question. You said that these energies, this triangle, is organic. Now, I'm confused with this because with organic chemistry, I know there has to be carbon involved.
So, okay.
Okay, so I'm confused with this.
Yeah, when DK speaks about organic, he means free-flowing. Or he uses the word organic, and he uses the word perhaps more, synthesis. And I apologize for that oversimplification, because you are entirely right. Organic, there's several definitions of organic.
Thank you.
Any additional questions?
Yes. Risa says, how do we create this tight grid of triangles?
I'm going to try to increase the volume here just a little. I'm having a little difficulty hearing. Okay, how do we increase? Well, we do our triangles. We do our triangles in a rhythmic, disciplined way, because every time you do a triangular meditation, even though you may not be technically aware of some of these, this minutia, you are building in that grid, not only this triangular grid, not only for yourself, for your group brothers and sisters, but perhaps equally as important, if not more, the actual grid of the planet. In other words, if you were to look, Risa, and that's a very good question, thank you, and I know you're an amazing esoteric astrologer, and I hope you can hang in there with our poor reception a little longer, because I got some really important things to share. But you can see by this image that's up on the screen, that even physical light, even electric light, has a potent effect on the etheric body of our planet. And DK has said a number of times that the development of electricity and light has forged the evolution of not only humanity, but our planetary life, our planetary logos, in unseen and unexpected ways. All this transportation, all this movement of energy, and particularly the internet and the high-speed highway. My opinion is, and it's held by others that have studied this extensively, the internet is actually an extension of the body of God, of his, her etheric body. Now, yes, granted, it's being abused, and there's a lot of negativity on the internet and the information highway, but as time moves by, more and more advanced people will gain more and more control, and these third-ray types that are dominating so much of our lives right now will recede, or as DK says in the Great Invocation, evil, we will seal the door where evil dwells. And this is how we do it, by doing triangular meditations. Now, one last thing, Risa. There are other meditations you can do. And this is why these images that I'm presenting are very useful. They're sort of inspired directly from the teachings of Master Moya, who goes in extensively to the importance of the dodecahedron and sacred geometry. And DK, this is all taken from DK. I just took the liberty of putting it into graphic form. And it's not easy because some of these concepts are so multidimensional. But let's look at this picture. You got the physical grid of electric light affecting the planet. You have the etheric grid of lighted substance, which is the etheric body of the planet in its most potent form. Then you have minor vortex formation from triangles. Okay, see how the whole thing is faced with triangles? Now, these are faced differently. They're six-sided. I guess they're hexagons, and they're divided up somewhat differently. And when we get into the study of sacred geometry, we're going to see that all of these different etheric bodies can take different polyhedral designs. And it's an oversimplification to simply think that it's just taking a square and drawing a diagonal line across it. That is very potent for meditation, and it does work. But each person who has come to participate in this presentation is building a geometric form on the inner planes with their inner bodies. It may be more of a tetrahedron, more of an octahedron, more of a dodecahedron. And we'll explore that sometime later. But for now, you can see the telepathic mental grid, which is the outer shell. In other words, all of this is really coming from the mental plane and higher, more subjective levels. We're receiving it, and we're transmutating it, stepping it down, and putting it into some type of daily, useful ritual practice to strengthen. And I always love the quote by Gurdjieff, an amazing esotericist at the turn of the century. He said something that took me years to figure out when I was younger, and he said this: let us help lift the burden of our common Father in heaven by our daily service and meditations. And we all have the capacity to do this meditative work and are doing it, and it makes a difference. And every cell within the body of our planetary logos, every cell within the body of humanity that occupies a unique place, lifts the burden of our common Father. And so we are co-creating. We're not just drones carrying out the will of the masters. They're asking us to co-create with them by being receptive to their plan. Any questions up to this point?
Yes, we have a couple of more comments here from Suzanne. She says, first, very helpful on a practical level, so helpful in understanding triangles. And then she goes on to say, I'm seeing hexagonal forms resembling combs as in honeycombs, yes. A known organic source of a particular energy. We are the butterflies pollinating our earth.
Beautiful. So poetic and so occultly accurate. We have to remember that according to DK, well, according to H.P. Blavatsky, honeybees came from Venus. And they were a part of directing humanity, amongst other things, in the correct direction and to take him out of the sort of the hunter-gatherer stage and into the more domestic farming and more stable type of lifestyle. Yes, that was beautifully described. Any additional comments?
Yes, we've got a couple of hands. Let's go to Francis. Oops. Wait a minute.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Duane, just your thoughts on the progression, if you will, from the loose square dominated grid to the tight multi-dimensional triadic grid. Does that help? Does that progress, do you think, in a steady, predetermined way, maybe related to the stages of discipleship, or can it be more individually erratic and undetermined?
Absolutely. If we go back, and I'm going to just regress slightly here because this is a very, very important statement. When we look at this triangle diagram that has all of the key connections between the first and fifth initiation, DK says that they do not take place sequentially as I'm outlining them, that depending on your soul ray and your personality ray will determine which one of these centers or which of the centers, because it can often be several, will you be activating. And this is important because when you know what your rays are and your personality vehicles, what the rays of those are, it allows you to see what your strengths might be. And you, of course, want to reinforce and build on those strengths, but you also want to build in that which may be lacking and which may be the path of least resistance. So to go back to your question, Francis, which is a good one, I would say both, that we build sequentially from one triangle to another, and yet when you're working on the first initiation or the first major triangle, you are already activating the other triangles that are coming, the solar plexus to the heart, base of the spine, and even the lower mental one, which would be the ulna major, ajna, and the throat. That would be prior to the third initiation, and then after the third initiation would be ulna major, ajna, and the egoic lotus. But this is very good because this is where we leave the outline, the important outlines of the lower mind, and go into more of an organic, using it in a synthetic way, to really get an intuitive feel for how many things can happen simultaneously for the growth of the total organism, like a fractal. You can separate one part and say, oh, this is good, this works, and I can develop that, but you are also working on, through the law of septenary sevens, to quote DK in the law of correspondences, which is also numbers, color, sound, vibration, heat, and electricity, magnetism. Excellent question. Thank you, Francis. Any additional questions on that?
Yes, we have another hand, and we have Francis, your hand just went back up again.
That's go ahead, Francis.
No, I'm muted.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Duane, I appreciate what you said, because as I was asking the question, I was thinking that it is organically, you would use that word, an organically dynamic process based on a number of triadic factors. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions?
Okay, and then Dan says, thank you. And he says, what is meant by, yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Dan says, what is meant by inlet and outlet in this image?
Okay, I'm assuming he's referring to this one. Okay, the inlet, the masculine pole is up at the top. Now, to be more accurate, it should be tilted to sort of demonstrate like the North Pole. That is where, if you were to look at a plasma stream coming from the sun, you would see these radiant belts of electrical and magnetic life shooting from the sun to our planetary life. and they curl around, excuse me, and they enter at the northernmost point, or the North Pole region. Then they circulate down through the spherical life, and then they enter the top vortex, they circulate down, and they enter the female or the feminine vortex at the bottom. And then they circulate back up again. Although, keep in mind, this is not a self-contained unit. There are seven spheres that really should be demonstrated here, each one connected with the other. But we're only doing this bare bones, and you can only see the bare outline up on the top left of the telepathic mental grid. But there's the etheric, as we have here, there's an astral not shown, there's a mental, and then all the vehicles have their form. And it's an erroneous concept to think, oh, when I get to a certain initiation, I'm dealing with the formless. Yes, you're dealing with the formless in relationship to what you've previously experienced, but looking like the masters do from above down, all these different levels have some type of form. They're just more lighted, more tenuous, more ethereal, each plane, each subplane, and each ray that you go up. Okay, any additional questions?
Yes, Yvonne has a question.
On one of these previous slides, when you said the loose grid of the squares, my question is, I always thought, and I told someone, that we're not victims, that we're dealing, the negative stuff we're dealing with is from karma from either this life or previous life. And now I see that according to this loose grid of squares, it could be coming from the door where evil dwells or something, you know, from outside. It isn't, we're not the causative agents by our thought, words, and deeds.
Yes, excellent. So,
is that true?
That's absolutely correct. And if you look at the...
My words now.
I've brought the image so that you can see it again, because I think you were referring to this one.
Yes.
We have to keep in mind that only after certain initiations are we free from the involutionary elemental substance that compose the physical, etheric, astral, and lower mental. And even though we may not at that moment be conscious of it, negativity can seep into our auric structure because of similarity. And it's not like, oh, I'm a bad person, I have negative thoughts. There just may be some elemental substance floating around in your aura. And when these waves of negative elemental substance come, and DK says they can come from your neighbor, they can come from your partner, they can come from humanity at large, they can come from decaying moons, of which are many, and if that's not enough, decaying constellations that are wafting these undesirable aromas, if I may use a key word here, down into our system. And so when you insulate yourself from those forces, by creating the triangle or strengthening the vortex, which is populated or tessellated with triangles or different geometric forms, you protect yourself. And only then can you be a real teacher and really contribute, because you can help other people with their karma. And it's not that it's our responsibility to burn other people's karma, but now you're working more on group karma. And ultimately, when you take the higher initiations, you're working on planetary karma. And it has been said by DK that one of these services that the hierarchy performs for humanity is that it creates and strengthens this triangular grid so that evil will not overwhelm infant humanity at its crossover place and at its most vulnerable time, and that once humanity is trained in this art, in this science of building triangles through the vortex, it will release members of the hierarchy to even more important forms of service, and we you and I and people in this group and in other groups at some point will take over that work because we will be part of that hierarchy. So it's an interconnecting grid of what I call the eco-spiritual system, where as odd as this may sound, we, let's put it this way, just as food for thought, perhaps we cannot leave our position where we are on the path until we train symbolically those who are coming up behind us and have similar aspirations but haven't quite reached to where we are. And so what I mean by that is, to go back to my previous statement, when the hierarchy needs to fill vacancies and we've undergone initiation, we will create vacancies others will have to fill. Now that's perhaps a very inadequate and poor way through the spoken word to describe this divine ecosystem where everybody is connected and no one is left behind, and eventually all unredeemed substance and all these prisoners of the planet that DK speaks of will find their day in the light. Okay, good. Any additional questions? Wow, these are great questions.
Nope, that's all I see right now.
Well, I think... Okay. I'm going to... We've sort of covered this, but the etheric body's in constant motion. Ceaseless transformation. And everything, all these energies are in a state of constant change. Now, this is an image, before we get into a few animations, this is an image that I did quite some time ago. Let's see if I can show it with a little more clarity. Okay. I'm not sure why those little red gremlins, I don't know if you can see them, but I have these little red lines over my image. They just appeared. Never happened before.
Yeah, we can see him.
Yeah, in any event, this is a quote from DK when he talks about Shambhala. And when I read this, it really made my sneakers smoke because I had always thought of Shambhala as being so profound and so all-pervasive that it was like a black hole and it was devoid of anything other than pure will. Now, a little older and hopefully a little wiser, not having made that connection, but skirted around the outer periphery occasionally, I've come to the conclusion that what DK is saying here is so important. And this is what he says. Shambhala, it is a world of pure energy, of light and directed force. It can be seen as streams and centers of force, all forming a pattern of consummate beauty. So, again, not to be too redundant here, but these higher levels, although formless to humanity and to most disciples, are becoming an extremely ethereal state of consciousness that defies any type of description, but does have form. I mean, look, all of this is in the cosmic physical plane, the highest that we can aspire to, 6, 7, 8, 9 initiations, you're only mastering what's on the cosmic physical plane. So everything within that system and below that system has to have some type of form. The mystic wants to reject the idea of form because it wants to think it's achieved liberation when it's often, and I don't say this with a sense of criticism, it's just an observation, when they think they've achieved some great recognition and they're no longer dealing with form or energy or matter because they're beyond everything, they have only just begun. And this new occult approach that DK has outlined and HPB has outlined is recognizing the different viscosities, the different levels of lighted substance, realizing that they're all connected, and yes, they are different. So let's look at a larger view of this, because if you can follow my cursor, Can you see that, BL? That ribbon?
Yes.
Okay, that is the formation of triangles. In other words, the energy is probably coming down monadically onto the monadic plane from the cosmic astral plane and or the cosmic mental. And it is pure fire, and it is organic and very fluid-like. But as it begins to move away in these bands, in other words, at the very center, you see the red. That's the first ray. The next concentric part of it, almost like an eye, is the blue. That's the second ray. The touch of green is the third ray. Then there's a little bit of yellow, sort of hard to see. Fourth ray, a little bit of orange. Fifth ray. And then when we hit the sixth ray and the seventh ray, you begin to see the formation of triangles. Now, this is not to say there aren't triangles on higher levels, but just with this image, you can begin to understand how something that's fiery and in constant motion will, as it occultly cools, another perhaps inadequate word, but moves away from the central ferocity of that fire of the atmic plane or the logoic plane or the monadic plane, it begins to gel, much like rain, if I use another inadequate analogy here, much as rain can be in a very fluidic state, and as it comes down from the clouds and it reaches colder temperatures, it coagulates and it forms into these most exquisite snowflakes, each one of which is different, but all based on some sacred geometry. They say there are no two snowflakes that are alike. DK and HPB confirm that each one of our lives is characterized at its end by some geometric form. Infinite is the beauty of those who have studied and meditated and done service, but they're all different. Now, when you get into the different ray groups, yes, some may be more like a dodecahedron, some may be more like a tetrahedron, some may be like another one of the Platonic solids, but they're all rhythmically moving and they're organic, and to further enrich this visualization, they palpitate with the inner throb of the planetary logos' heartbeat. Because he, she, whatever you want to conceive of our planetary logos or our solar logos, is rhythmically breathing in and out, cyclically, short cycles, medium cycles, long cycles. And when you can merge your individual breath in meditation with the group breath, with the divine breath, you will find that breathing, or mortality, as we understand the term, will cease. Okay, so let's go on to the next one, where it shows this idea in a little greater detail. Okay, I've sort of exaggerated there. Can everybody see that? Here is where we go from fire into matter, but it's matter that is so ethereal, it's like electricity dancing. And when you study the stanzas of Dien, which many of you have, some of those concepts are so incredibly difficult to understand. They're so poetic. They demand recognition through the intuition. And that's why they're so important. Okay, any questions up to this point?
No.
Okay, I want you to look at this. Any hands? No, is that what you said?
No, no hands, no. Yeah, right, no hands, no questions.
I want you to look at this blue image as if all of these undulations were actually triangles. We think of a triangle as having three points, a lower, a higher, and a mediation point, and that they're all connected on three different levels. But as we explore the idea of triangles in relationship to spheres, that are ever expanding, palpitating, and moving in triangles that are also in transitional states in multiple levels, we actually, this might be a more accurate representation. It looks like water, spatial waters. And the idea of creating a triangle, sending a beam of light to one person, then to another, and then connecting is very important. It's very powerful, but it's only a preliminary stage where I am certain that at some point groups will take the idea of triangles and all this information that Tibetan has provided and bring it together into much more synthetic work. Okay, here's another one. Here's spiraling triangles. We say this is a spiral, but it's also shows you how many triangles can be linked through multiple levels. In other words, where is the crossover point between rotary motion? And I might add that in Cosmic Fire, that's the least understood concept in that book amongst most esotericists, the idea of the three types of motion. You have rotary motion, which expresses the third aspect of deity, which is rotating around and around and around. And each rotation, if the organism in question is learning its lessons and aligning correctly, its rotation will speed. Its rotation will speed up. And at some point, when rotary motion reaches a certain level, it begins to, as HBB would say, it begins to drill holes in Fohat. It begins to worm its way into the higher dimensions. And it's where you begin to understand consciousness, the love aspect, or cyclic spiral motion. In other words, where is the crossover place between the third aspect of deity, rotary motion, and the second aspect of deity as far as the second ray, and that is it. And you're looking at it right there. Because you could take any one of those circles and fade out everything else, and you would have a representation of a principle or law in the occult work. But here you see two. You see the different, you see the rotary motion part. Okay, any questions to that?
Okay. Not yet.
Okay. Well, now we're going to go into an animation, and I appreciate so much all of you coming to participate, and these questions are so important. And I may only get halfway through my presentation, but I'm a happy camper because we've got some good questions going, and this is, it's more integrative and it's more user-friendly when people can really contribute. Okay, so what we're going to do next is we're going to prepare ourselves for short meditation. It's only going to be 2 or 3 minutes long. It's going to have music, and it's going to show two things simultaneously. The palpitation and the undulations of pure fire, symbolized by the red and the orange, sort of first ray. And then you're going to see the beginning stages of the formation of sort of the second ray, which is the geometry. God geometrizes, as DK quotes in, I think, Letters in Occult Meditation. And it shows how the two can be compatible, and they can exist in the same space or in the same lack of space, if you look at it from another direction, and still be compatible. So I would like the group to... BL, could you read this affirmation before we get right into this animation, because it's so perfect since it deals with fire.
Okay.
or anyone else who would like to read it? Any volunteers?
I can read it.
Okay, just I seek the way I yearn to know. Just that affirmation. Don't have to do the rest of it.
Okay. I seek the way I yearn to know. Visions I see and fleeting deep impressions. Behind the portal, on the other side, lies that which I call home, for the circle hath been well nigh trod, and the end approacheth the beginning. I seek the way, all ways my feet have trod. The way of fire calls me with fierce appeal. Not in me seeks the way of peace, not in me yearns for earth. Let the fire rage, the flames devour, let all the dross be burnt, and let me enter through the gate and tread the way of fire.
Excellent. So let us connect etherically, emotionally, telepathically, and on soul levels as we participate in this next animation. That's a very, very powerful image. And the idea of God is a consuming fire, a phrase that the Tibetan and HPB use often in their works, comes to mind. When a group is able to simultaneously visualize the same image, it creates a telepathic link. And I know all of you are very familiar with this and have spent many years studying different traditions to see and understand and feel how this works. But I am convinced in the future, we're going to have more demonstrations over the internet in the high-speed highway than we really understand. In fact, group initiation might become a really powerful influence over the internet. And people can argue, well, you don't have the influence of the master, but that's not entirely accurate. Who's to say that at some point in the future, one of some high initiate or some master might see the potential of using the high-speed highway in the internet to dispense certain images or ideas. I mean, it's happening already, but I want to say to any of you who are presenters at the Moya University that I have got this special Zoom connection that I pay for independently from the regular webinar that the Moya series uses, and that I have offered that anybody who's doing webinars is free to use it as my permission, and I will send them the information that should at some point they have some animation they want to show, even though we are having technical difficulties throughout many of these presentations, this Zoom that we're using was actually much better than the Moya one. It had much better clarification and resolution. Okay, excellent. Meditations don't have to be long to be powerful. Are there any sharing that people would like to?
Yes.
This.
We have a comment from Asha. She says, a very heart opening, and that it reminds her of the Gayatri mantra, the sound of light.
Yes, excellent.
And we have a...
Francis Wilkinson.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Duane. That's a wonderful animation. And I'm just wondering, the way of fire as above, do we think that as that fire and that animation pattern demonstrates itself on the dense physical, I'll say the physical cells of an individual, would be substantially different? Or do you think that remains as above, so below?
Well, I think all of what you've said, I think one of the least understood aspects of the occult path, and it's given lip service, but very little exploration is made into how it might actually technically work, is the change in the cellular structure of the physical body. Now, we know that the body is not a principle, and we're really trying to stimulate the etheric body primarily via the astral, the mental, the soul, all these higher levels. But genetically, and Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden have done remarkable research and experimentation on this subject, how that we can literally change, reprogram our genetic nature to accommodate these new forces. So I think it affects us on multiple levels. I've had a number of people in other presentations say that they felt heat. I mean, they physically felt heat observing some of these powerful images. And I would love to impress everybody that I did all this artwork and that this is something I brought together on my own, but actually that's not accurate. These are hierarchical images that other people have done, and in some cases I've modified them for my use, but that's where their potency is. They are hierarchical soul images, a lot of them, and you will be impacted by them. And whether to what degree is entirely determined by what your needs are. And often people take these images, to extend this just one step further, and they modify them for their own creative use. In other words, we have soul symbols, we have hierarchical symbols of the different ashrams and all kinds of symbols, but people can modify them in ways that work for them. And Francis, the creative use of the Sri Yantra that you have shared with me demonstrates how you've grasped this idea long ago. And I hope I've answered your question, but I didn't because it was a multi-dimensional question. Okay, good. Any additional comments or questions or something to share?
Yes, Deborah says, I believe that the internet spiritual use will come up at the 2025 convention.
Yes, I agree with that completely. I think that the idea, that in 2025, we're going to be presented with another 10 or 20 or 25 books of the Ageless Wisdom is not accurate. There will always be a corresponding third ray presentation. So yes, there may be many books, many new things to learn. But I also feel that man has progressed to a point where he can assimilate these teachings through the eye more than the ear. And what I mean by that is that, assuming you have some type of foundation, because we never want to negate the lower mind, it's a perfect scaffolding in which we can launch ourselves into these more abstract and ethereal levels. But I've lost my train of thought. I've just gone to another planet. Anyway, any additional questions?
No, that's all I see. You're going with the new presentation besides books.
Yes, that it's going to be, they're going to be, well, if one picture is worth 1,000 words, what can we say about one well-constructed animation that is created by somebody who has some serious occult background? That it's not just pretty pictures and something to entertain. And I'm not saying that's bad, but an animation, well, Marshall McLuhan back in the 60s said something utterly profound. When, in fact, Marshall McLuhan, dubbed the high priest of the media, was the person who coined the phrase surfing the net. That was where it came from. And when he did his research on these new developing technologies that were only in their infancy back in the 60s, 50s and 60s, he said that to sit down in front of your TV or the movies and to watch something had several ramifications. And he said, you may be missing the point to simply say, oh, that was a good movie. It was high art. The actors were right on point. Or, oh, that was a dog. That was a terrible movie, and I just wasted $5 to get in to see it. He said, we are placing ourselves in front of an electronic light board that is flashing all these increments of electricity and energy into our subconscious, conscious mind, or other parts of ourselves we are not aware of. And that we are being affected in ways we know nothing about. And this is why large organizations, corporations that understand this, not esoterically, but they understand that your brain waves can be entrained by flashing lights and by rhythmic pulsations, and that you just exposed yourself to something very powerful that it altered your brainwave patterns. And we know the etheric and the brainwaves have an intimate relationship. You can affect the etheric by changing your brainwaves, and your brainwaves can be changed by what you expose yourself to. But also, ultimately, your etheric body from above down, its potency affects our brainwaves. It's from both directions. And that, of course, demonstrates why our environments are so important, because they mold us. And we won't go into it now, but in the study of electricity, we have to understand how this entrainment works. And it's a key phrase or term used in physics or in the study of electricity. And I'll just say this, because we're going to have to devote a whole period to the idea of entrainment, that DK says that you cannot undergo initiation until your mental body is striated, your mental field is striated. Well, what does that mean? Well, in the study of electricity, we know that electrons travel. They travel like soldiers through some medium. And if the medium is pure, like copper, gold, silver, they will travel in unison. They will travel together. They will travel in a straight or in groups of parallel lines. And you see this in all types of electrical theories. If you're overly affected emotionally and your auric field is got large swirling masses of unredeemed astral substance, you will not be able to create that striation in the mental field, which is what takes you through the third initiation and up into the higher realms. So electrons have to, they travel like little soldiers. And when they are properly polarized or magnetized, they travel in a straight line. And yet, having said that, a straight line can become a circle if you make it large enough. And that's why when we study triangles, we have to understand these triangles are not absolutely straight. They have to be bent because they face or tessellate some spherical life. Okay, any questions up to this point?
You have several comments here.
Okay.
Risa says the medium is the message.
That was his quote. Absolutely. Yes.
And Joe says around October 5th, the moon will be in the region of Regulus in late Leo, early Virgo. We feel Sirius at this location as well. The solar fire energy of the meditation is preparing us for this incoming energy, stimulating our spiritual endeavors.
Excellent. So true. So true.
And then Asha says, this poses a question of ethics when it comes to artificial intelligence.
Absolutely. Many of these new developments, the quality of them will be determined by the intent of the people who make them. And I'm sorry to say that there are many people who head these large robotic corporations that really don't have our best interest at heart. They're going to make war machines. They're going to perhaps replace humanity in ways that we don't want to be replaced. In any event, That's important. Thank you. Any more questions?
Yes, Francis has his hand up again. Okay, go ahead.
Just a thought, and that was as you were explaining the teachings for this next cycle and how we may, our higher senses may assimilate those teachings in different media, through different media. The thought was that perhaps the avatar synthesis is helping speed this process on a number of levels.
Yes, absolutely. The Christ is being supported by many great entities that are sending their saving force down in our direction. Okay, any additional comments? I'm going to save the astrology part for next time, but astrology is based on several subsidiary sciences. They're all based on the science of relationships, but the science of the fiery force centers, what DK calls Laya Yoga, and the science of triangles. So we have some really good stuff to present on astrology, and we'll just have to do it at a future point. Okay, are there any additional comments?
I don't see any at this time.
Well, good. Well, let's end this with one more animation. And it's another one that relates towards the vortex. And we'll analyze it next time, and we'll just experience it this time. Okay. Excellent. Any comments about that magnificent twirling Ouroboros snake swallowing its own tail?
Risa says the significance and importance of music accompanying the symbols facilitates our responses.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm a real neophyte and beginner.
Asha says, thank you, amazing, and much love.
Next presentation, I'll be back at the ranch, and I'll have the regular Wi-Fi, and we'll have better quality images and better sound, and I really, really appreciate your patience, because this is sort of new territory for me, and without Rose's help and BL, I would be totally lost. So if there aren't any additional questions, we'll sign off.
Okay, you have one more from Suzanne. She says, absolutely inspiring.
Inspiring, beautiful.
Inspiring, yes. And she says, thank you to all of us and blessings of lighted substance. So
yes, Rose and I send our love. And if you need to get in touch with us, you can email us or you can go to Makara. And we will have the Facebook in this latest presentation, the seventh one, so that you can go right in and access that Facebook site set up just specifically for sharing and questions or whatever. Okay. Love you all and blessings.